I understand for some of the younger ones, you have some worksheets. That's great. If you don't have worksheets and you're expecting worksheets and you know who to go to for worksheets, then use this opportunity to do that so you can follow along with the stuff that we're going to be saying. Can I just say it's an enormous joy, an enormous privilege to be with you over this weekend, certainly for the opening ceremony. Well, maybe opening ceremony is the incorrect word, the celebration service yesterday evening, and now for this morning for your 10th anniversary. Thank you for that opportunity. It's particularly precious because I've known the church for its 10 years, and I've known the pastor and elders and several of you folks for longer than that period of time as well. And it is precious. Thank you for that. But I want us to be clear that Emmanuel Chippenham is so much more than maybe the person who stands up front, Spencer and the others who preach, and Reuben and the like. It is so much more than particular individuals who have a role to play in church life. And Emmanuel Chippenham is so much more than this lovely building that it now owns and occupies. I was so pleased to hear the emphasis that was going out yesterday evening. There was the constant reminder that the church is actually the people. It is the company of people who commit themselves to meet together for their own good and for the glory of Jesus. And we need to remind ourselves on this 10th anniversary that there's nothing more precious upon the face of this planet than the church of Jesus Christ. See, Almighty God has chosen to do his work through this bunch of people that he has rescued and saved. And the trouble is, this side of heaven, they're still struggling. We're all struggling with sin and failure. We're still infected by selfishness and pride. We all still need constant reminders about the sort of people that we're called to be as we seek to be like Jesus in this world. We need reminders about the sort of church that we're called to model. So little wonder we find the Bible is littered with word pictures that try to describe what the church is all about. For example, the church in the Bible is described as a family, or as a bride, or branches on a vine, or a field of crops, or a building, or a temple, or a house. There are all these word pictures. And each in its own way conveys a significant truth about what it means to be church, to be the gathered company of God's people. And what we're going to do this morning is focus upon one particular description, one word picture that we are given in the Bible which describes the church. And it is that word picture of body. The church is a body. It is the imagery that we read about from 1 Corinthians 12. And the reason that the Apostle Paul uses this particular word picture, this image of body, as he writes to this church in Corinth, is fairly obvious. Because this church that Paul was writing to was a very divided church. Just have a listen to some of Paul's opening words. There in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 to 12, Paul writes, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' Still another, 'I follow Christ.'" A divided church, but not only was this church divided, there was also a wide range of inappropriate emotions and feelings within the church at Corinth. You see, in that church, it becomes evident that there were some very proud people, and they loved to go around boasting how godly they were, how spiritual they were. And they boasted about all the wonderful spiritual gifts that they used and possessed. And they conveyed the impression in that church family that they were self-sufficient. I've got it. I don't need anyone's help. Oh, I'm so blessed by God. And then on the other hand, in that church, there were those who were full of envy, looking jealously up at those people who were boasting about their spiritual gifts. And basically, as they heard these people going, oh, I'm so brilliant, these others in the church felt quite useless, felt quite surplus to requirements, ready to hide away and say, well, we're not really needed here. We can leave it all to that super spiritual bunch who clearly have got it all together. And it's into this context that Paul describes church as being like a human body. Because this word picture illustrates truths of unity and diversity and interdependence. And we're going to have a look at each of these in turn. So my first point is this: there must be unity. There must be unity. Paul writes this, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 13. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, into that divided church at Corinth comes Paul's challenging words. You see, just as the human body is a single entity rather than a collection of eyes or ears or legs or arms, so the church of Jesus Christ must recognize its essential unity. It can't be, it mustn't be, just a collection of competing factions. It's got to reveal Jesus, not human rivalries. And that's the point that Paul had been hammering home throughout this chapter. He says we serve the same God. He says it there in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. You see, Paul is saying, we serve the same God. Understand your unity there. He says, secondly, we seek to build the same body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We seek to build the same body. And he goes on to say, we're all saved by the same Spirit. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And in the context, this is clearly referring to the time when believers were saved, when they were added to the body of Christ. You see, this verse can't be referring to some subsequent experience of the few, but rather what Paul is describing here is the salvation experience of all God's people. You see, whether you like it or not, when you became a Christian, those of you here who love and trust Jesus, when you became a Christian, you became part of that universal, that big church of Jesus Christ. So, I'm not saying anything profound here, but please get this one big point that Paul is making. Church is not to be like a human club. Didn't we see that in the lifeboat video? Church is not to be like a human club, full of petty jealousies and rivalries. It's to reflect what God is like. And when you've grasped the amazing and perfect unity that there is between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the one in three, you'll realize that unity is something which is to be prized and which is to be treasured. Friends, at Emmanuel Chippenham, there must be unity. There must be unity. But then secondly, as we continue looking through that body imagery, there must be diversity. There must be diversity. Paul writes this in verses 14 to 15 and then verses 18 to 20. He says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Now again, could I say this? Paul's point is obvious. For the body to function healthily, it requires every part to be performing its task. And that's actually what's happening to you right now, at this moment. Well, I certainly hope it is. The heart needs to keep pumping. The kidneys need to keep cleaning. The lungs need to keep inflating. The stomach needs to keep digesting, and so on, in so many different ways. And without these vastly different functions being performed, the body wouldn't prosper. And in the same way, Paul is emphasizing that every single gift given by God needs to be used and developed for the church of Christ to prosper and grow. That's why there are people working in children's ministry in this church. In sound, in projection, in video. There are those who welcome folks when they come in. There are home group leaders. I don't know if you call them home group leaders. Home group leaders. There are musicians. There are administrators. There are mentors and accountants and painters and decorators and caterers and creche workers and evangelists and Bible teachers and encouragers and givers and web designers and so on and so on. In fact, there's likely to be a great number of people doing all sorts of different things for the one body. So although we may be one church working together for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, we desperately need every gift God has given us. And those gifts have to be valued, and those gifts have to be used. You see, some of those Corinthians weren't using their God-given gifts because they thought they were insignificant. Whereas Paul emphasizes the fact that this sort of variety is actually essential for the well-being of all God's people. And so for you, if you're a real Christian, the big question is whether you are using your God-given gifts and opportunities within the context of the local church, or whether you're just hiding away, thinking that this church doesn't need you. You see, that's one of the dangers of reaching a certain size in church life. You're at a very dangerous size, Emmanuel Chippenham. You see, you look around and you see a number of others and you assume, oh, there's enough people here, I'm not needed. Or else actually, maybe that's the reason you come to this church, so that you might hide away, so that you won't get involved, and you like to turn up just for the services, and you come, and you're gone within 10 minutes because you can just hide away. Can I just say both ideas are drastically wrong? If we're to take the Bible seriously, Emmanuel needs to be a church that uses every single gift of every single believer. And if you don't know what that gift is, then there's one question to ask and there's one action to take. The question is this. The question I want to ask you. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What is it that gets the juices going? What aspect of Christian ministry gets you excited? Because so often God matches our desires with our gifting. That's the question I want to ask, but then the action you can take is to come and talk to one of the church leaders. Could I just say they would love to chat with you about what your gifting is and how your gifts can be used. If you started coming to Emmanuel Chippenham, maybe in recent weeks and months, and you say, well, I've enjoyed coming. Look, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a part to play. The leaders would love to talk with you. Go and talk with them. Let them be able to explore with you what it is, what gifts you have that can be used for the benefit of this body that meets here in this place. This is eminently practical. This is eminently spiritual. This is eminently biblical. So please understand this. God has made us all so different in so many different ways. And such variety is not to be despised. Praise God for differences. But it is to be cherished and cultivated and used. So there must be diversity. Thirdly, finally, there must be interdependence. There must be interdependence. Have a look at from the second half of verse 24 into verse 26. Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 12, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Can I just say once again, you don't need a theology degree to get hold of what Paul is saying. In the human body, there are some parts that do incredibly important work, but they're not on public show. Take the lungs or the kidneys, for example. I think we've got some lovely pictures of them. Now, they don't look particularly attractive. And they are hidden away within our torsos. But the fact that we don't see them doesn't mean that they're not important. Or take those parts of the body that are on show. Things like our eyes and nose and mouth and lips and teeth. Things that we pay a lot of attention to, you know. When you came in this morning, you were speaking to someone, you were taking all of those things in. You see, the point is the health and beauty of these vital and public parts of our body is down to the work that goes on within. As oxygen is added to the blood and as waste is removed from the fluids that we drink, there is, you see, a massive interdependence within the body. And so it is with the body of Christ, and so it is with this church. Let me boil this down to two simple statements. Number one, this church needs you. Number two, this church wants to develop care for you. Look, this church needs you. No one is useless in the church of God. For the well-being of the whole body, we need you to be using your gifts. And it may not be a gift that's seen publicly, but that's fine, because what matters most is not public recognition, but spiritual usefulness. You see, as you get used to this building, you probably won't know who it is who cleans up afterwards, who cleans the toilets in this building. You may know, you may not know, but you see, without these gifts being used, we wouldn't be able to meet corporately like this, because there are people doing things behind the scenes, quietly, not saying, hey, I'm the loo cleaner, but praise God for the loo cleaner, and praise God for those who clean and look after stuff and make sure that the building is operating. Without these people who are doing the stuff behind the scenes, this church wouldn't function. So do you get it? This church needs you. You see, you may be thinking, spiritual gifts, are they going to ask me to come up front and preach or lead a Bible study or something like that? No, that may not be your gifting, but you may have other gifts and abilities, and there may be other opportunities that are given to you, and we want you to use those for the glory of God and for the good of his people. This church needs you. Secondly, this church wants to care for you. Did you notice what Paul said? Its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Can you remember what it's like when you go down with the flu? Can I just say, my wife was here yesterday evening for this celebration meeting. She's not here this morning. She wanted to come, but she's been going down heavily with the flu. And this, she had a bad night, and is feeling really rough. And could I just apologise if you came within about 3 yards of her yesterday? I'm sorry. But you know how it goes with the flu and what I'm witnessing firsthand at this moment. This flu, this virus affects everything. Your head throbs, your throat gets sore, your nose runs, your skin gets clammy, your limbs ache, your eyes water, your body shivers. Every part of your body reacts to that viral infection. And every part of the body of Christ shares in the suffering as well as in the joy of every other part of the body. And that's how Emmanuel Chippenham should respond to every member, not just those who are better known or better loved. There's the person who is struggling with their singleness. There's the couple who are struggling with their marriage. There's the wife struggling with her infertility. There is the man struggling with his sexuality. There is the family struggling with unemployment. There is the older person struggling with their health. In each of these situations and many more, members of the body of Christ should respond to these needs as they become aware of them. You just can't turn away. This affects you. This believer, the believers here are organically connected. It's your issue. For you to show how you love and you care. That is why coming together and talking and sharing and eating together is so vital a part of church life. We get to know one another. We get to support one another. We help one another in our pains. We rejoice with one another in our victories. But that's church. There is interdependence and glad interdependence. And Emmanuel Chippenham should be characterized maybe by little groups of people just... You can see them and just someone just got their hands on another and just praying for them in a particular situation because they love them and they want to help them. And there's going to be so much more going on outside the walls of this resource, outside the walls of this building, as church is being church, as people love and care and share for one another, going around to one another's home, sending emails, sending texts into particular situations that you've become aware of. This isn't a Sunday-only church. This is the body of Christ. And there is interdependence in the body. So here you are in Emmanuel. Are you here as an outsider looking in? If you are, can I just say it's great you're here. Brilliant. Come back, ask as many questions as you like of the folks here. Or are you a born-again Christian who knows that they should become involved with this church family? It may be that you probably look around and you see that there are many things that Emmanuel Chippenham could do better. Maybe you even get frustrated with certain areas of church life. And maybe you've been happy to offer your observations on these things. Well, that's great. Obviously, God has given you gifts to see the problems and to diagnose the issues. So let's put you to work to help fix the problems that you can see. You see, there are two sorts of people in church. There are those who complain about what's wrong, and there are those who get involved to put it right. And I just hope that you're part of that second group, that you get it about being part of the body of Christ, that you take your responsibilities seriously. I don't know if you've ever read Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, or maybe more like me, you've seen the Disney cartoon version of the book. And you'll probably be aware of the Cheshire Cat. You remember the Cheshire Cat? Who in one scene disappears gradually until all that is left is its mouth. And it's a pretty weird sight, just a disembodied mouth. And yet that's precisely what can be seen and heard in many church gatherings. A mouth speaking, a mouth criticizing, a mouth pointing out all the problems, and yet it's a mouth that doesn't belong to the body. It's just a mouth without any commitment or connection to the rest of the body. That's weird. That's wrong. Let me change the metaphor away from the Cheshire Cat. Are you a member of the family, or are you an invited guest? See, when guests come to your home, they enjoy what you have to offer, and then they leave. But if you're a member of the family, you know what happens. You do the washing up afterwards, don't you? The guests have gone, let's do the washing up, let's tidy the house. You get involved, you get your hands dirty. You feel your responsibility because you're a member of the family. So could I say, why don't you talk to the leaders here about membership? Why don't you commit yourself to this body, to this family? Why don't you let your gifts be used for the glory of God and for the good of others? And if you're members of the body already, how are you using your gifts and abilities to serve and bless other members of the body? Remember, it's not about you. It's about them. And through them, it's all about Him. Emmanuel Chippenham has been going for 10 years. Emmanuel Chippenham has taken this remarkable, glorious step of having this great new resource that it's going to meet in. Could I say, Emmanuel Chippenham, you haven't arrived. You are just beginning. And the lesson now is to be the body of Christ that He calls you to be for the glory of God and for the good of this community. Let's take God's word seriously. Let each one of us here engage with it and respond to it for His honor.